If you have your Bibles this morning and will, turn please to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. I want to read some verses here and try our best to deliver to you what's on our heart for the service this morning, and try to pray and spend some time with the Lord. And yesterday He began to work in my heart concerning these verses, and a thought placed on my heart, and I want to try my best to be sensitive to His leadership and do that He has put on our heart. If you'd pray for us, that He would help us this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 11, when you found your place, if you're willing and able to do so, we'll stand together. And of course, by standing, we're just showing reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar story account here in the Word of God. And really, it's a passage of Scripture, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it's really a passage of Scripture I don't much like to read, this story about this mistake and mess up by the man of God here in 2 Samuel chapter 11. But it's recorded for our sakes. And the Lord saw fit to put it here to prove to us that those before were simply flesh just like we are. And God forgave them and used them, and He can us in these days. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 1. It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. They destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. It came to pass in an evening time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. David sent and inquired after the woman. One said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. The woman conceived and sent and told David and said, "I am with child." David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did, how the war prospered. David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, went not down to his house. When they had told David, saying, "Uriah went not down unto his house," David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and his servants and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. When David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. It came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, "Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die." And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab. And there fell some of the people of the servants of David. And Uriah the Hittite died also. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Now I said already that this is familiar scripture here in 2 Samuel chapter 11. We know this account. And I said and admitted within myself that it's not a portion of scripture that I desire to read about this sin of David and then another sin that David commits in murdering Uriah to cover up the sin of laying with Uriah's wife. And I don't necessarily want to preach on all of that. But I want to preach this morning, if God would help me, out of verses 14 through 17, as Uriah takes this letter back to Joab. And the letter said in verse 15 to put Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. And in verse 16 that Joab, knowing Uriah's character and knowing the city and the battle, that he put Uriah in a place where valiant men were. And the fight began in verse 17. And there were people that died, the servants of David. And then verse 17 records at the end that Uriah the Hittite died also. I'd like to preach this morning, if God would help me, on I want to die on the battlefield. I honestly, and I don't mean any disrespect from this, and he'll understand, I hope you will, but I hadn't given a second thought to what Brother Tim had been teaching in the Sunday school when the Lord brought this to my heart. I hadn't given a second thought to what this weekend is about concerning the service. I don't preach on occasion unless the Lord leads that way. I try and I don't get it right every time. I'll admit and confess that. And I don't. I'm flesh. I'm human. I fail and come short many times. But I try my best to follow the leadership and the direction of the Spirit of God for every service. And it began to deal with my heart. Matter of fact, in reality, if you want to know, and it's just how the Lord works, I was sent yesterday. Brother Tim sent me a video of a preacher preaching, and before he preached, he sung the song that many of us know, and I've heard it sung two different ways. I've heard some people sing, "I'm gonna die on the battlefield." Then I've heard some sing, "I won't die on the battlefield." And so I don't want to be arrogant or anything. I want to preach this morning on the fact that I want to die on the battlefield. Now, if we're going to die on the battlefield, there's some things that have to be. Number one, there has to be a battlefield. But not just a battlefield, there has to be a battle that's going on in the field. I went some years ago, I was thinking this morning during the Sunday school hour and just meditating and collecting my thoughts for the service. But several years ago, I was preaching in a meeting in West Virginia, and it was about 10 minutes from the Maryland line, and they had told me that just over the line was the battlefield of Antietam, which was one of the bloodiest, if not the bloodiest, battle of the Civil War. And so the battlefield was preserved. It was there. I saw it. The churches, the buildings were still there. The schoolhouses were still there. The siding was still riddled with bullets from the war that went on there. But there was, it was a battlefield, but there was no battle going on at that time. And we're in a day where there is a battlefield. And we can preach at the battlefields in the world. We can preach at the battlefields in our mind. But there are many places that we are battling, and the battle is real in this day. And if we're going to die, or I'm not talking about being a casualty of war, too many times that is the picture. We feel pitiful toward ourselves. That's not what I'm preaching. I'm preaching about the character, to have the character that Uriah had, that he was willing to die for what he believed in.
Yeah.
And he stood for what was right. The Bible said he had a valiant character, that Joab, his commanding officer, knew to put him in a place where valiant men were. And David, even in his sin, knew the character of the man by the name of Uriah. That if he put Uriah, if he gave the order to put Uriah in the hottest part of the battle and have everybody else retire from him, that Uriah would not run. He would stand and fight to the end. Lord, help us to have some character like that in our day. God, help me to want to die on the battlefield. God, help me to stay in my place, as was taught in the Sunday school hour, begun to be taught about standing. Lord, help us to dig in where we are and to fight despite all the things that are going on. If we're going to die on the battlefield, that means we're going to have to keep on fighting until the end. There's a lot of things that go through our mind, maybe a lot of negative things, and I'm not preaching anything negative about dying on the battlefield. I'm preaching about an honorable thing, and a die for what's right, to finish. I'm not talking about just being a casualty of war, but I'm talking about finishing right. Uriah finished right in the battle of fighting for truth and right. That's what I want to do. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much longer we're going to be here. I'm inclined to believe that it's not very long. But we are going to leave this world one way or the other. We're going to leave by way of the grave or by way of the air, one way or the other. And when my time comes to go, be it whether they wheel me up in front of a pulpit in a casket, or the Lord returns in the air and I see him face to face, I want to go out of here. I want to be done. I want the end of my life to still be in the battle. And on the battlefield, despite everything, I begin to thank God. And I'm just going to preach this morning. I just have it in my heart to preach about this. And I began to think last night, and God began to deal in my heart about some men in the Bible that I think we could say, whether we like it or not, whether we agree or not, the Bible has proven to us that they died on the battlefield. And the first one I thought about, and began hearing the text to think about Uriah, he's immediately, when the Lord began to deal in my heart about the thought of dying on the battlefield, immediately Uriah was the first one that came to my heart. Now I want to say that Uriah kept fighting. If we're going to die on the, now if you're going to get with it this morning, you're going to have to get with me, because I'm not going to be very long, I don't think at all. I'm just going to deliver my heart and then I'm going to be done. But I'm going to tell you, if we're going to die on the battlefield, we're going to have to keep fighting despite what may go on around us. And I thought the Lord began to deal in my heart of the fact that Uriah kept fighting despite the fact that he was abandoned. That's what happened. David sent the letter by Uriah's own hand and said, put him in the forefront of the hottest battle, and when it gets hot, retire from him. You know what that means in our terminology? Abandon him. Leave him in the battle to fight alone. Now I'm going to tell you this morning, I know and realize that we're never alone. I'm glad for that this morning. I thought about while I was studying last night, and God was speaking to my heart in the scripture. I thought about that song in the red book, we're never alone, no, never alone. I'm glad he said he'd never leave us and never forsake us. He'll go with us all the way, even to the end. I'm not talking about being abandoned by him. He'll never forsake us. But I'm saying we ought to be resolved to fight whether or not our friends and family fight with us. If everybody else goes away, we ought to be resolved to die on the battlefield. If everybody else forsakes us, if everybody else abandons us, if our friends go the other way, if our family abandons us at the polls, well, we ought to stand in the battlefield and be willing to die there. What is right? More than Uriah was abandoned. More than Uriah. There is evidence throughout the Word of God. I know, as I said already, the Lord never abandons His people. Thank God for that. But there's evidence all through the Word of God that those that stood for Lot, that their friends and their family walked away from them. Paul preached in the New Testament that as he preached the gospel, he said, at my first answer, all men forsook me. No man stood with me. He felt the reality of being abandoned. But I'm glad Paul said in the next verse, notwithstanding, the Lord stood by me. I'm telling you, I'm glad to know in this day, it comes to my heart this morning, that song I heard growing up, the choir at my home church used to sing, gonna stand by me. I know my Lord is gonna stand by me when the way is dark and I cannot see. I'm glad when everybody else abandons. I'm glad when friends walk away. I'm glad when the family says it's no good and go the other direction. I'm glad there's a power inside of us that cheers us on and keeps us in the way. And I'm telling you, I have a desire to die on the battlefield. How about you? Despite the fact that we're abandoned. Oh, I thought about Uriah this day. And there's no great detail in the scripture other than the fact that Joab observed the city. That is the place where they were fighting, and they got close combat. And Joab put Uriah there. And as you read on in the chapter, Joab used a strategy that was often looked down upon, because when they went up against cities, especially those with walls, they could shoot from the top or drop things off the walls. And when Joab sends word back to David about all the others that had died in order to have Uriah put where he was, Joab reminded the messenger to say, there are going to be things that the king's not going understand. There are going to be things he don't like about the strategy, but remind him that Joab said, Uriah the Hittite is dead. That's all David cared about. I'm going to tell you, in this life, there are going to be battles we fight and things we face we ain't going to like. Things we go through, if we're going to stand for truth and right, especially in these last days, there are going to be things others don't like about this battle that we're in. But I'm telling you, if it's in you, and I believe that you're saved way down deep, you may not have thought about it for a long time, but I believe that you're really born again and saved by the grace of God down inside you. There's a desire to die on the battlefield, to do what's right, and to stand for what's right. It's part of a job that comes with being a soldier. We and endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen, so here the scene plays out. Joab puts Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and assigns him with some valiant men. Some men that know what it's like to serve their master. Some men that knows what it's like to do the bidding of their commanding officer. But their command comes to retire from him. And I've always thought about Uriah. I just, in my mind, I see Uriah out at the Bible said he was at the forefront. He was the leader. He was the one that was charging in. And as Uriah's fighting, and it gets hotter and hotter, and the battle gets worse and worse, and all of a sudden those that were beside him are not beside him anymore. Those that were behind him are not behind him anymore. But Uriah does not stop. Uriah does not give up. I'm telling you, there are going to be times in our lives that those that once were beside us are not beside us anymore. And those that once were behind us are not behind us anymore. But we got to keep fighting despite the fact that we feel abandoned.
Yes, brother.
Uriah fought on to the death in the battle. But then I thought, not only are we going to have to fight on, I'm just giving you what's on my heart. The Lord began to deal with my heart strong last night, and I prayed that he'd help me preach. I want his help. I can't preach without him. I text some, talk to some on after the service on Friday night, and I'm not criticizing anybody, anything, but it was difficult. And there are some of them services that are that way. It's just difficult. And what it did to me is Brother Tim talked this morning about and talked about that person he had talked with. It reminded me that I can't do it on my own. I'm glad to know I can't. It's not in me or up to me. I gotta have him. And I prayed and said, God, this is burning in my heart. Maybe it ain't for nobody but me. Maybe I'm just preaching to me this morning. And if that's what he wants, that's okay. But I'm telling you, we got a reason in our heart and purpose in us. We're going to stand despite what may come. We're probably all going to be abandoned. If time plays out and the Lord don't soon come, the Bible said that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. And the reality of that is we're not as bad as it's going to be here, and it's going to get worse than it already is. And I'm afraid that many of the people of God may abandon one another at the post. Don't abandon. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep fighting. A purpose in your heart to stay until the end. Despite being abandoned. I just prayed last night and said, Lord, I know there's some men in the Bible that have stayed and they died on the battlefield. They finished well. If you want to preach it that way, if you'd rather have it that way, they finished well. That's what I want to do. I want to finish well. I'm going to tell you people remember more about how you finished than how you started. And I want to finish well. I want to be one of them people. And I'm not saying it out of pride or arrogance or boastfulness of myself. But I want to be one of them people like was mentioned in the Sunday school hour this morning that had an impact and made an effect and that people remember. Not because that I could preach well. Not because of all the... I don't want to be remembered for all that. I want to be remembered because God was with me and God helped me and God touched me. That's what I want to be remembered about me. I want to finish well. I have pondered and debated, you know, sometimes messages like this, I don't know if you'll understand, sometimes they're hard to preach, they're hard to get across, and it's hard for me to preach my heart this morning. I just can't get it out like it's in me. It's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about him and the cause and the commander we're fighting for. Paul said, a good soldier, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life, but he pleases him that's called him to be a soldier. We're all soldiers. We all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and God knows all about it. But it ain't about us. It's about him. It's about him. Not about us. It's about him. And because of him, it ought to be in us. But I want to finish well and end right. And die in the battle. And on the battlefield. I thought the Lord began to deal with my heart last night about some people in the Word of God that I believe died on the battlefield and finished well. And despite the things that were going on, and the same things that were going on in their life, the same things that they had to fight despite, or the same things that you and I are going to have to purpose in our heart, despite what may come, despite circumstance, despite situations, despite the storms, we're going to stand, we're going to press on, we're going to fight on, we're going to stay in the battle and finish well and die on the battlefield. Your eye fought on despite being abandoned. The Holy Ghost took my heart to old Joshua and Caleb. More Caleb than Joshua, though Joshua finished well, but I really want to focus on Caleb because that's where the Holy Ghost put my heart. And I want to say that Caleb fought on despite his age. I mean, that just come to me so clear. And I'm so glad because there's a lot of people in this Christian life who think that as you get up in age that you can't do anything anymore. Caleb got over yonder and they crossed the Jordan and they got to divvy it out the inheritance. And when he was back over yonder spying out the land, he saw Mount Hebron. He said, give me this mountain. And the Lord promised that him and his children could have it. And they got to the end. Caleb said, I was 40 years old when Moses sent us to spy the land. 45 years ago, he said, I'm 85 now, and he said, I'm as strong now for war as I was back then. In other words, Caleb said, I got as much grit at physical stamina might not be the same. But he said, I got it purposed in me to have this mountain. I've thought about it for 45 years, and now it's come mine. 85 or not, he said, give me this mountain. I'm going to tell you, many times in our life we pray and seek God for something and we desire to obtain and have, and we think that as time goes on, and I understand by the process of time that our physical bodies get tired and we get weary. But I'm going to tell you, you got as much a place in the body of Christ and in the warfare at 85 as you have at 18. Let's just stand to and right in this final age. I think about men that I've known. In these last couple of years, we've lost some precious, precious men of God. And I'm not just focusing on men. I'm preaching to everybody this morning. Men, women, boys and girls, if you're saved and in the family of God, you have a place in the army and you have a place on the battlefield. You ought to do your best by the help and the grace of God to stand for truth or not. I think about some men that I've known in my own personal experience, and I see how they've finished well. I think about some of the ones that have slipped off and graduated on into eternity over the last 2 or 3 years. Some men like Brother Billy Mitchell. Some men like Brother Wayne Henderson. Some men like that, of that caliber, that have went on to be with the Lord, and they've finished well. All the way down to the end, they finish well. But then I think about their son, that by every means of nature's course, they're getting down to the end now, and they're still in the fight. And that's what I don't know. How much longer we have, Brother Jordan, I don't know. Part of me wants to say he's coming this year, but he might not. I may be 80 before the Lord comes, and if I'm 80, I still want to be in the harness doing what's right in the battle with the sword and my helmet and my spear and my shield and doing what's right for God. My physical strength may go. I may be weak in body, but I want my spirit to be strong as Caleb's was. And despite my age, I want to die on the battlefield. There's no quitting. There's no retirement plan on this side. God's a retirement plan's in another world. And one writer said it's out of this world. And that's right, but there's no retirement here. But there's no hanging it up here. But there's no quitting here. We got to stand as long as we're here and purpose in us. But despite our age, despite our physical hindrances, despite problems that come along, we're going to stay in the battle. Think about others in my life that are still here, that are, as time and nature has it, that they're nearing the end of their journey and they're still in the battle. They're still in the battle. I think about Brother Hanley Milby, and if time lasts, he probably not got much longer as physical things go, but he's still in the battle. I think about dear sister Anna Scott, and she's still in the battle. I think about her sister, Miss Helen England, who's still in the battle. I think about some that I grew up with at my home church. There was a lady, and she went on to be with the Lord this year. Her name was Miss Louise Landis. I don't know how old she was. She wasn't really old by all nature, by maybe in her 60s, maybe her 70s, I don't know. But I remember, and it's still as real in my heart and my mind as it was when we was at Victory Baptist Church on green pews and green carpet. And she sat on this side about 4 or 5 pews up, and when the Holy Ghost got to coming through, she'd clap her hands and rock back in the seat, and she'd say, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, it's real, and it made an impact on me. And as far as I know, that's how she died. I'm going to tell you, when my time comes to go, and it may be tonight, and if it is, even so be it, but I want to go out for truth and ride in the battle doing what I can for God. Amen, brother. Amen. Yes, yes. There's no time to hang it up. I hear people all the time say, well, younger people are in the church and they're coming on, let them have my position. They can't have your position. They have their own position and you still have yours. And until you graduate out of here, your post is your post and my post is mine. And we better do what we've been called to do while there's still time to do it. And despite our age, we better just carry on. Despite being abandoned, we better just carry on. Oh, Uriah, I kept fighting. In my mind, I thought about saying a minute ago, and I thought, no, that's just my thoughts, you know, and then it's coming back to me again. I think old Uriah probably looked behind him and said, it's okay, boys, I'll hold the line. You rest a while. You go lay down a while. I'll hold the line. I'm going to tell you that we ought not to criticize and look around, and we ought not to do what we're doing because everybody else that's around us doing what they're doing. Say, preacher, I don't know so much about that. Well, the Lord got down there toward the end. He got to talking to Peter and John. And Peter said, what about this man? Referring to John. Jesus said, if I would that he should live until I come again, what's that to you? In other words, the Lord said, Peter, do what I've told you to do. And let John do what I've told John to do. And let Thomas do what Thomas is to do. And let Matthew, Mark, and Luke do what they're to do. And I'm here to tell you, I want to do what I've got to do. But I want you to do what you have to do. And let's stay in the battle together and die on the battlefield. Oh, and then I don't think it could be preached without preaching about Paul. And he said, and we've read it so much, I'm afraid it may become cliche to us, but I don't want it to. I want, when my time comes to go, Brother Tim, for me to be able to say, I've fought a good fight. I've stayed where I was supposed to be. I thought about them mighty men that David had, and one of them stood. And the Bible said he smote until his hand was weary, and instead of dropping it, it clave to the sword. He couldn't let it go. He had to fight. And I'm telling you, that's what I'm praying for God to do. And it's some men and women in our day. I know it's weary, but God cleave our head. Oh, well, we can't lay it down. We've got to fight until the end. And I thought about old Paul. He fought on in spite of adversity. You and I in these days, we think we have it rough, and I'm not belittling anything that you and I are going through. I'm not. We think we got it rough. We think we've seen some adversity. But I want to read, and I can't quote it all, and I want to read it because I want you to hear. In 2 Corinthians, I think it is, chapter number 11, Paul was just mentioning a few of the sufferings he had for the Lord's glory. And he said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, of the care of all the churches. And Paul said, in spite of all that, I have fought a good fight. Yes. And we all have our adversity that we face, but don't let it stop you in your warfare. Don't let it hinder you in the path you're trodden. Our captain's going before us, and he knows the way. He never has lost a battle, and he never will. And we can trust in him, and despite all the adversity that may come. That's why the Apostle Paul could write to Timothy and say, Timothy, this know also in the last days, perilous times will come. And he began to talk about all the adversity that we would face in the last days that are facing. That men would be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient unto parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce makers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitor, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. All of these things. But then in the end, he said, but continue thou. Yes. He said, Timothy, don't let it stop you. He said, the time will come when they won't endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and turn away their ears from the truth to be turned into fables. But he said, but preach the word. I'm going to tell you this morning, you better stand for what's right. Stay in the battle despite the adversity that is to come. And then the Lord got to deal in my heart, and I don't know, I'm just going to confess my faults. That's what the Bible said to do, confess your faults. It doesn't say confess your sin, it says confess your faults. And the Lord was dealing with my heart, and I don't know how you are, I just know how I am. And it was easy for me to accept that he said Uriah died in the battle, and that he said that Paul died and Caleb died. It's easy for me to take that. But the Holy Ghost kept nudging my heart. And I even texted some preachers and said, is this right for me to say? And they said, yeah, it's right. And the Holy Ghost said, I'm telling you it's right, so it's right. And the Lord put it on my heart this morning to preach that Samson died on the battlefield despite his awful failure. He still died on the battlefield. The Bible said he betrayed the trust of the Lord, laid his head in the lap of the world. It wasn't just the lap of a woman. We can preach that all we want to. It's the fact that he was laying his head in the lap of the world, and it took his strength from him. And it'll be the same thing that the world will do to us. And it got so bad, that the Bible said when she did shave his head, he got up and shook himself and said, I'll go out as before. And he wist not that the power of the Lord was gone. I believe that can happen in our day. I believe it is happening among churches. I believe that's why their mistaken emotions and charisma for the power of God is that they've laid their head in the lap of the world for so long, they don't even know that God's gone. And she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he thought, I'll whip them just like I have before. I mean, Samson, I believe, I don't find any record any different in the Word of God. I don't believe he was some superhuman man. I believe he was an average man just like everybody else, because everybody wondered where his strength come from. We see these paintings and pictures of Samson look like Hercules from mythology. I don't believe that. I think he's just a normal man. But the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord would come on him. He took a jawbone of an ass and slayed 1,000 men. He picked up the gates of the city and carried them to the top of the hill. Mighty things. He thought, I'll whoop them just like I always have. But he didn't have no whoop in him. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of Christians that are on the battlefield and they're thinking, I'm going to whoop just like I always have. But they ain't got no whoop in them because God's gone. And they plucked out his eyes. And they took him to the grinding house to grind like a beast. And they called for him, said, bring us Samson, that he may sport for us. Let's mock him, make him our entertainment. This man that has been a thorn in our side all these years, we've got him now. Some of the greatest words ever recorded about Samson is, how be it, the hair of his head began to grow again. His power wasn't in his hair. His power was in the Lord. But it was in that Nazarite vow, that mark of separation. That's what it meant. It didn't mean that when his hair got long enough, the power came back. It's the fact of that mark of separation. That's what gave him the power. And they all gathered together on a day to feast to their God about all the victories they've had. They said, go bring us Samson. We'll let him be our entertainment one more time. And he did. And then the Bible said they took him over there, bound in fetters. There's a little boy there and Samson couldn't see. And he said, put my hands on the pillars of the house. And that little boy put his hands on the pillars. Now I want you to go home. If you ain't read it in a while, y'all go home and read it. Brought tears to my eyes last night when he said, just one more time, Lord. Just one more time. Now I'm telling you, I don't know what you're praying for 2021, but I'm praying just one more time, God. Just one more time will you do what you've done. He's still the same. He can. Oh, we got some people that really are saved, oh, that need God to show them He's God one more time. He said, one more time. Lord, one more time. Let me be avenged this once for my eyes, and let me die with the Philistines. And the Bible, now I'm preaching about dying on the battlefield. Don't matter about, now I'm not here to preach this morning. You can do anything you want to. You can't. Samson suffered greatly for what he did, and you will too if you belong to God. But the Bible said he prayed, and he bowed himself with all his might. And he pushed the pillars over and the house come down. And I used to say it's a sad statement till last night. And the Holy Ghost let me know that Samson died on the battlefield. And the Bible said he slew more in his death than he did in his life. I'm going to tell you, when it comes time to end, or when it comes time for it to be our time to go, or when it comes time to finish, I understand there's a great importance of how you run, but it really matters how you finish. You say, well, that's just your opinion, that you thought he died on the battlefield. I don't think so. Because I turn over toward the other end of the book, and in Hebrews chapter 11, after he's talked about Abraham and Noah and Jacob and Sarah and Gideon and Moses and all the patriarchs of old, the writer said, and time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson. And he made it. He made it in the hall of faith. I was texting one preacher, and I know it's my fault, and it's part of my fault sometimes, and I overanalyze. But I think the Holy Ghost let me text him, because he texted me back what he said. It made my heart leap inside. He said, have you ever wondered what Samson thought? If the Holy Ghost ever let him read Hebrews 11, that Samson would say, Lord, you left some stuff out. I don't belong here. You didn't record all the things I did wrong. And the Lord said, by grace, son, it don't matter what you've done wrong. It just matters you belong to me and you're in the family. I'm telling you this morning, you might as well quit beating yourself up about all the things you've done wrong. If you're saved this morning and it's under the blood and it's washed away, by grace, all that don't matter. All God sees is that you're in the family. If your failures have caused you to lay down the sword, let faith cause you to pick it up again, because you're in. If you're saved, you're in. And that's all that matters. Just go on in now. We can't go back and undo what we've done, but we can start today and make tomorrow count if tomorrow comes. We cannot, as individuals, go back, and I've heard people stand and say, and I think there's a place for it. I think it's good counsel for younger families. I've heard people stand and say, if I could go back and change, if I could go back and undo, and I believe that that's coming from God, it has its place. But I'm going to tell you, we can't go back, but we can start today and make a difference today.
Yes.
I want to die on the battlefield. That song said there used to be some people who walked and talked with me, but since I've been converted, they've turned their back on me. Some say, give me silver. Some say, give me gold. That's exactly what that last song was sung this morning, that I was trying to talk about that last verse. That's what all the world's concerned in. But that writer of that song said, I say, give me Jesus, who saved my dying soul. I want to die on the battlefield. I want to die in the war. I want to die on the battlefield with glory in my soul. And I'm going to tell you this morning, you don't have to just snuff out. You don't have to just barely make it. You don't have to just cross the river. You don't have to lay the sword down. You don't have to take the armor off. You don't have to quit fighting. But you can die on the battle with glory in your soul. And I want to. I want to. I've seen dear saint, and I've not been in as much experiences as other preachers have, especially in days gone by, but I've been in a few and watched dear saints get to the end of the crossing that still had glory in their soul. I've watched them sing and shout and see things I wasn't seeing, and I got no problem believing they're seeing what they were seeing. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes my time to go, I don't want nobody doubting. I want to go out on the battlefield with glory in my soul. Despite the adversity, despite the adversary, despite the age, despite all the things, despite people may abandon us, despite mistakes I may make and you may make, I want to finish well and die on the battlefield. I want my life to count for Jesus. Let's stand all over the house this morning. I'm done. God spoke to your heart this